My degree's in sports medicine. The only reason I moved to Saginaw, Michigan, was Saginaw Valley State University hired me to be their first full-time trainer. I didn't know anything about Saginaw Valley. I didn't know anything about Saginaw, Michigan, except there was a country western song many years ago, "I Lost My Love in Saginaw, Michigan." That's the only thing I knew about it. And my wife and I came up here in December of 1979 to see about the job. And you got to remember, I'm from Kentucky. I've never seen frozen lakes before, folks. And if you know anything about Saginaw, it's divided by a river. Well, we was going to cross that on December the 9th in 1979. And as we passed the Civic Center, I looked down, and there was all these little houses down there in the gully down there. And I never knew what they were. And we got out to Saginaw Valley. We had the interview. They hired me. And I said, "Man, there's a really poor section of town right down in the middle of town there." And they all started laughing at me. And I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "Haven't you ever seen an ice shanty before?" I said, "What's an ice shanty?" And they said, they fish. I said, "They fish for ice?" I'm a southerner, folks. I've never seen ice that thick before. I've never seen ice shanties before. And they had to explain to me, people set in those things, they drill holes in the ice, and they go fishing. I said, "Are they ever dumb? I wouldn't sit on ice." But that was my rude awakening to coming to Michigan. But I've been here since 1979. I was at Saginaw Valley for 2.5 years. And the Lord called me into full-time Christian work. I started working in a bus ministry in 1978. We started attending First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, where my pastor is Pastor Ouellette. And he came to me and he said, "Would you like to teach in our bus Sunday school?" And I said, "Yes." Thinking about it, you know, I figured if my preacher had prayed about it and was willing to ask me to get involved, that was the right thing for me to do. I didn't look like I do now. I sort of had long hair on my shoulders and a full beard. And he says, "Rick," he says, "I do have some standards for my Sunday school teachers." And I said, "What's that?" He says, "You have to have hair off your shoulders. Off your ears." And I said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes, and I don't allow any of my Sunday school teachers to have facial hair back then." I said, "Okay." And I went and got my hair cut. When shaved off my beard. My wife loved my long hair because it was naturally curly. My hair was more curly than hers. But I went and did it. We started teaching in our B Sunday school. And we was running 4 buses at the time. And we was teaching 4- and 5-year-olds. And my first Sunday there to be able to teach 4- and 5-year-olds, we had about 45, 47 4- and 5-year-olds on 4 buses. And we walked in and I said, "Donna, what have I got us into?" Because I'm used to working with athletes, college athletes. And we got them all sitting down, but one little boy, his name was Travis. And he was bouncing off all 4 walls. And if you've taught Sunday school and you've had kids before, you know, everybody has a Travis in their Sunday school class. You just don't know what to do with them. So you sort of just let them do their own thing, right? So he was bouncing off all 4 walls, and I told Donna, I said, "Just let him go." I said, "We got all the rest of them sitting down. They're being good." And I said, "Okay, I want everybody to stand up so we can sing." So everybody stands up, and Travis disappears. I was excited. He disappeared. But to my surprise, he had snuck up behind me. And when I lifted my arms and said, "Okay, let's sing," he bit me right where I sat down. That was my introduction to the bus ministry, folks. And I went to my preacher and I said, "Preacher, the bus ministry's just not for me." Well, now 35 years later, I'm still in the bus ministry. I took over a bus route in 1980, running 13 on the bus. And I've been on that same route now since 1980. My route's been split 9 times. My high day has been 719 on my bus route. I still run 4 buses on my route. When I'm not even home, I run, and we bring in close to 200 boys and girls every Sunday on my bus route. And I have some great workers. I've had families that's been with me for almost 30 years. And I tell them every week when I call them, I say, folks, listen, I couldn't do what I'm doing today if it hadn't been for you. And I've got some great workers. I got some young people that's taken over some of my routes, go calling on them. And I tell you, it's a blessing to be in the bus ministry. It's a blessing to stay around and serve God for a long time. And the Lord has allowed me to be able to travel. I've got 57 meetings this year. And you say there's only 52 weeks in a year. That's right. But I've got 57 meetings up through the second week of November. So you take your addition and figure out how that happens. I was in the UP the last 2 weeks at 3 churches and 2 camps. I was at Faith of Davison yesterday. I'm here today, and we leave this afternoon to drive to North Carolina to start a vacation Bible school. So just pray for us. And then we come back next Saturday night late. And I start a vacation Bible school on Sunday in Gaines, Michigan. So just pray for us as we do travel and pull that big trailer. While we was up there, my trailer, I blew a tire and my springs went. I had to replace 4 tires and all the springs on the trailer. I'm pulling about 14,000 pounds in that trailer. And I want to thank all the men that came out this morning to help us unload it. And I will really thank you when we get them all loaded back up. All right. I've got one of them out there. It's 880 pounds. It's a 40-foot slide. And it's big enough for you all to go down. All of you. I had a young lady of 83 years of age go down it. She climbed that ladder, came down, and I said, ma'am, I said, you're awful spry to be 83. And she said, Sonny, I race powder puff stock cars too. I said, okay. But come down, enjoy the slides, enjoy the things, enjoy the kids, all right? This morning I want to talk to you about the living God is among us. The living God is among us. Open up to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, and saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you for the time that we can spend looking at your word. Father, I pray that you open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Help us to draw closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You just got finished with Vacation Bible School. You had an exciting week. You've had people saved and you've met new families. And some of you are probably pretty tired. You've probably expended a lot of energy this week. But folks, I want to talk to you about what the next phase is. I want to talk to you about what happens after today. I want you to see several things that Joshua told the nation of Israel to do to get ready to go into the promised land. And I want you to think about those things in your own life. Here the background is the children of Israel has come to the Jordan River. They hadn't been there before because the last time they was almost there, guess what happened? They didn't go over. They decided they couldn't go into the promised land because there was giants and everything else. And you know the story. The 12 spies went over to Canaan land. 10 came back and said, we can't do it. 2 said they could, Joshua and Caleb. So God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The only two people that lived after the age of 20 in that bunch was Joshua and Caleb. And here Joshua is put in charge of the nation of Israel. And Joshua says to the people, number one, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. In verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Folks, as we think about what you've done this past week, what you're going to do following this, number one, you've got to prepare yourself. Folks, most of you after today, you're going to go home and say, wow, I'm done. I just want to kick back and relax. You know what? That happens to all of us. Every one of us. We have a hard time. We have a great time in vacation Bible school. And we sit back after it's all over with. And we kick back and we just go, phew, it's over. And then what happens? You feel like everything's gone. Wow, it's not as exciting as it was. It's not as fun as it was. Man, what are we going to do this week? Come with me. You can get to have a big day every week. And unload those inflatables 2 or 3 times a week and have kids. And you know, it's exciting to see those kids get on those inflatables. It's exciting to be able to see those kids have fun. But folks, I have to prepare myself. I have to prepare myself for the next meeting I go to. As a Christian, we have to prepare ourselves for our daily living. We have to. We cannot face the world without God in our life every day. A lot of us try. A lot of us go to work every day and we don't spend 1 minute in the Bible before we go to work. Some of you get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, read your newspaper, go about your daily task, and you don't read your Bible. Folks, we're not preparing ourselves for our daily task. We're not preparing for it. Joshua said, folks, listen, before we go over the Jordan River, you better prepare yourself. I want you to sanctify yourself. I want you to seek God. I want you to seek His face. I want you to get out the hidden sins. I want you to come to God and say, Lord, if there's anything in me that would keep me from doing right and to keep us from going over the Jordan River, bring it before us now. See, what happens, folks, is that we have sin in our life that we don't ask God to forgive. That's called hidden sins. And if we don't get those hidden sins out, folks, God doesn't have to bless us for anything. God don't have to take care of us because there's something between us and Him. It's called sin. He hates sin. You know what? We're all going to have troubles in our lives. Things are going to come in our life. But it's easier to face the daily task and to face the problems when we got God in our lives every day. If I was to ask you this morning, how many of you read your Bible before you come to church this morning? And how many of you got on your hands and knees and prayed? Some of you wouldn't raise your hand. If I ask you if you have your devotions at night, some of you will raise your hand. But some of you think, well, I'm going to church. I don't need to read my Bible. Let me ask you a question. Whoever told you that? See, you expect your preacher to get up here, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You expect him to have read his Bible and to pray and to bring the message that God wants him to bring. And you expect him to do it. Let me ask you something. What's the difference between the preacher and you? Not a thing. You know what? Every one of us need to sanctify ourselves every day. We need to go before God and say, Lord, help me to get through the day. Help me to get through the day. My dad was not saved when I was growing up. I grew up in a very wealthy family. But my dad taught me character. At 4:30 every morning, he would come in and wake me up. No matter what time I went to bed, my brother and I had to get up at 4:30 every morning. I didn't need to live on a farm, folks. I didn't have to go milk cows or anything. My dad owned a whole bunch of businesses, and it was my brother and my job as we got older to go out and to make sure all the trucks and stuff and all the oil and everything was all ready to go for the men when they got there at work at 7 o'clock. And we had to get up at 4:30 so we could go do that to get back to the house so we could eat breakfast and go to school. My dad had a very simple saying. He would walk in and he says, Charles Rickey, Kenneth Wayne, it's time to get out of bed. That would be all he said to us. I was on the top bunk bed. At 4:35, my dad would come back in the room. He would not say a word to us. He would take us by our feet, pull us out, and drop us on the floor. It was a rude awakening. How would you like to be pulled out and dropped on the floor from the top bunk bed at 4:35 in the morning? You know what? After the first couple of times he did that, guess what time I got out of bed? 4:30. Because I knew in 5 minutes I was going to get pulled out of the bed and dropped on the floor. You know what happens now? And ever since, when I got married, I wake up at 4:30 and my wife says, what's wrong? I said, I'm getting out of bed. She says, it's 4:30. I said, I'm afraid my dad's going to come pull me out of bed. And she says, you're married. He don't live here. I said, I don't care. He's going to come through the door and get me. Until this day, at 4:30, no matter what time I go to it, my body has just been trained to get out of bed at 4:30. You know what a wonderful time to spend time with God Almighty. He was teaching me character, but he taught me a time that I can get out of bed and I can pray and I can read my Bible. I got up early this morning. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning so I could be on the road by 5. Folks, listen. God says prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for your daily task. Prepare yourself. Joshua was telling the nation of Israel, you got to sanctify yourself. Number two, I want you to see, there's a promise here. Look at verses 9 through 11. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that, what's the next several words here? The living God is among you. Folks, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the God of this universe, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that took on a human form and died upon the cross and rose from the grave on the third day and conquered sin, lives within our heart if we're saved. Folks, listen, the living God is among you. Think about that. Man, you should get excited that the God of this universe lives within you, and you should get excited that that God of that universe is with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And he knows everything that you're doing, and everything you're not doing, and everything that you're thinking, and everything that you're going to think before you think it. But there's a promise there, folks, as a Christian. Why are we so down sometimes? Why do we get down? Man, listen. The God of this universe lives within us. And we should be excited that we can serve God and do what God wants us to do because He lives within us. Last week when I was up in the UP, I blew that tire on my trailer. I was trying to get over. But there was a guy that wouldn't let me over. I was starting to get a little upset with him. But then he pulls up beside me. And he rolls down his window. I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. He's going to scream at me. He's going to yell at me. So I roll down my window, just waiting to hear the bad words coming out of his mouth. He says, do you know you blew a tire back there? And I said, no, I didn't know. I didn't know I blew a tire. He said, there's a great tire store right down the road. You know, my mind, I was thinking he was mad at me. But God sent him to tell me where was the tire store, a block away. And I get down there, and two of the men that worked at that tire store was two men that went to the church I was just preaching at. And they called the preacher and said, preacher, Brother Mitchell's in trouble. He blew a tire, and when he blew a tire, the springs broke on his trailer. And he ripped the other three to pieces. And the preacher said, put all four tires on them, get the springs fixed. You know what? The God said He'll take care of us. The God in heaven, the God in our heart, says, hey, I live among you. I am there. Folks, listen. Take that and realize that you know what? God's presence is manifested every day of the week in our life. You know, as I get up every morning, I thank God that I get up. I thank God I breathe. I thank God I can see. 2 weeks ago, as I was coming across one of my big slides, a rainstorm was coming, I was trying to get the slide up before it got wet. God taught me a very valuable lesson. It's called patience. Because as I went across the big slide, my leg went one way, my knee went the other, and I dislocated my knee. I saw everything in the rainbow. I saw pink elephants and green elephants and yellow elephants. I saw everything. And because of my degree in sports medicine, I knew I had to get my knee back in place. It was sort of sticking out over here. And I knew I had to get it back in place before my adrenaline kicked in and before I tightened up my muscles, so I pushed it back in. And they told me I turned every white color in the world. And I said, pack it in ice. They said, you need to call an ambulance. I said, pack it in ice. I said, I'm not going no ambulance. Pack it in ice. And they packed it in ice for about an hour. Then they helped me get up the stairs so I could see how to roll up the inflatables. And I said, how long did it rain, guys? They said, about 5 minutes. I was so impatient to get that thing rolled up because I thought we was in for a big thunderstorm. You know, if I had just waited 5 minutes, I wouldn't be hobbling around with this. But then I realized God was trying to teach me a lesson. And I realized that the God of this universe lives within us. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. Number three, I want you to see the prerequisite for them to go into the promised land. Number one, they had to have faith. Folks, we got to have faith in our life. So many times in our Christian life, we don't have faith. You say, I have faith. You say, hey, Brother Mitchell, I have faith. Do you ever put it to test? 2010, in the fall of 2010, I got this thing in the mail. It was the end of September, and it was the thing that says, take out insurance on your credit cards. How many of you ever had those things come in the mail? A whole bunch of them. What do we normally do with those things? Throw them away because they're not good. But for some reason, I hung on to this one through October, through about the middle of October. And it says it's free for 3 months. They get you, don't they? They get you on that. So you know what I did? I'll remember to cancel it after 3 months. So I sent it in. I listed the credit cards on there. Sent it in. Forgot all about it. It activated the 1st of November. November, December, January came. February came. At the end of February, I get this bill. And I look on my credit card statement, there's this bill. And it says insurance. I forgot all about it. I called them up. And I said, listen, there's a charge on my credit card. I don't know what it's for. She says, that's insurance you took out on your credit cards in case you lost your job. I said, really? When did that go into effect? She said, November. November, December, January, February. February 1st of 2011, I walked into my place of employment. And they said, you don't have a job anymore. We're downsizing. And I said, ma'am, how do I collect? And you know what the first thing she said, collect? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I lost my job February 1st. You told me it had been in effect for 3 months, November, December, January. I lost my job on February 1st. She says, let me connect you to a supervisor. I said, okay. Supervisor gets on, I tell her. She says, oh, you want to collect? I said, yeah. She sent me the papers. I sent them in. They paid the first month. Second month come, I sent the papers in. They paid the second month. Third month came, I sent the papers in. They sent me a statement saying all your credit cards are paid off that I had listed on that sheet. I said, glory to God. For the first time in my life, I didn't throw that stupid piece of paper away. But you know what? God knew back in September of 2010, I was going to need that. God knew that. Folks, listen. We have got to learn to live by faith. I travel all over the country now. And that day when I lost my job, I walked to the First Baptist Church where my wife is our preacher secretary. And I said, Donna, guess what? She says, what are you doing here at 11 o'clock in the day? I said, I've lost my job. And she says, you know, this morning I was praying God would do something big in our life today. I said, did. He took away the job. And she says, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but I've wanted to travel full time for the last 2.5 years. And she said, well, I reckon you're going to start traveling full time. And I've been traveling full time since. And God's taking good care of me. You know, I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from. I travel by faith. Folks, listen. We got to have faith again. We've got to get our faith back. So many of us depend on everybody else and the government and everything else. Let's get our faith back. When you get ready to tithe, folks. Don't stop there and think, how am I going to pay for this bill if I tithe? Folks, listen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You put that money in, God's going to take care of that bill. I guarantee it. But folks, we don't have the faith that we used to because we don't spend the time in the Bible that we used to. We don't spend time on our hands and knees like we used to. Joshua said, hey, listen, you got to prepare yourself before you go into the promised land. You've got to realize that the God, the living God, lives among us, and there's going to be a prerequisite. You got to have faith. And you know what that faith was for the nation of Israel? When the priest step into the Jordan River, the river will part and you'll be able to go over. It wasn't until the priest stepped into the Jordan River that they was allowed to cross. What would have happened if the priest didn't step into the Jordan River? Would they have wandered in the wilderness again for 40 years? We don't know. But you know what those priests did? They did exactly what Joshua said. He said, I want you to take that ark, put it on your shoulders. I want you to march into the Jordan River. Once you step into the Jordan River, you're going to stop and the river's going to part and the nation of Israel is going into the promised land. We've got to put our feet into the water, folks. We've got to get back to reading our Bible. We've got to get back to praying. We've got to get back to soul winning. We've got to get back to doing what God wants us to do in our churches. And then, the last thing I want you to see is this. He tells, I want you to pick 12 men. Joshua picks one man from every tribe of the nation of Israel. He says, when we cross the Jordan River, I want you to take a stone. And I want you to take that stone because that stone, if you look in verse 6 of chapter 4, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Folks, Joshua says, hey, we want our children to remember. We want our children to remember what God did for us. We want our children to remember that these stones represent what God did to get us across the Jordan River and how He took care of us in the wilderness and what our God will do. Folks, listen, we got to build some stones and we've got to build some things so our children can see what God has done. But too many of us are not building those stones for our kids. Too many of us are not building those stones and saying, listen, children, this is what God's done. They don't see the blessings. They don't see what God has done in our lives. And they say, why should I serve God? My daughter, who's a missionary in Africa, when she was 4 years old, I always took her out on a date on Saturday after bus calling. And one Saturday, we just didn't have any money. And I taught my children from the time they was little, and Patty's the oldest, and we'd have our family devotions that God answers prayers. And she came to me, and she said, Daddy, it's going to be fun to go to McDonald's today. And I said, sweetheart, we just don't have the money. She said, Daddy, we're going on our date today. I said, sweetheart, we just don't have the money. She said, Dad, just a minute, I got to go into my room. She comes out in about 5 minutes. This is a 4-year-old girl. She comes out in about 4 minutes with a big smile on her face. And I said, sweetheart, what's up? She said, Daddy, we're going to McDonald's today. I said, sweetheart, I don't want to disappoint you. She said, God told me we was going to McDonald's today. We lived about 5 minutes from church. We got to church and there was a man coming down the hallway. He said, Brother Mitchell, the Lord laid on my heart about 5 minutes ago to give you some money today. My 4-year-old daughter could get money from God, folks. And she said, look, she said, Daddy, I told you we was going to McDonald's today. When we went into evangelism, preacher says, how are you going to travel? All I had was a Buick Century. I got 3 children. My son's pretty big. He's as big as I am, but he weighs about 3 times as much as I do. Not really, but he's a pretty big boy. And we was praying for a van. And we had met with preacher, and he said, we'll pray for a van. And in our family devotions, we prayed. And we asked the Lord to give us a van, and we'd always get to Tim. He was the last one before I prayed. And Tim says, Lord, give us a van with a TV and VCR in it. Typical boy. And we had family. About 2 weeks later, a preacher calls me down in the office and he said, Rick, there's a van out there in the parking lot. Somebody gave you a van. I went and got the kids out of school and I said, guys, listen, this is what God's given us. And they got to see the blessings of God. And Tim opens up the side doors of the van. He said, Dad, this is not the van for us. And I said, why? He said, because it don't have a TV and VCR in it. And my son was 9 at the time. I said, well, Tim, I said, this is the van that God gave us. We got to be thankful for it. He says, I am, Dad. He says, but I really wanted a TV and VCR in it. So at the family devotions that night, we're thanking God for the van. And we got to Tim, and Tim says, God, Lord, thank you for the van. What a blessing it was. But Lord, I really want a van with a TV and VCR in it. A week later, preacher calls me to the office. He says, Rick, there's another van sitting in the parking lot for you. I said, what? And I went and got my kids again. And I said, guys, we got another van out there. We all went to it. First thing Tim did was open up the side door. He said, Dad, it's got a TV and VCR. And I told you God was going to give us one of those. My kids got to see answers to blessings. Patty and them, been on the field for 10 years now. I got 3 granddaughters in Africa. This has been one of the roughest months for them. We transferred their money or wired their money and their money got lost. They don't know where it's at. $1,700 disappeared. They can't get money in Africa unless they have money coming in. They can't work. But they've been faithful. For the last 19 days, God has provided everything they needed, the day at a time. I believe that's because of their upbringing. Folks, listen. Does our kids see the blessings? Do they remember the blessings that God has given us? Folks, God's been good to you. God's been good to you. But do our children see the blessings? See, folks, I've been in First Baptist Church now for 35 years. There's a lot of people coming into our church now didn't see the buildings. I was cleaning the worms off the floor on Sunday mornings in our old buildings. They don't remember those buses breaking down and having a 1962 bus with the steering wheel this big on it. Man, we got drivers that come in and complain if it don't start right away. But folks, listen, we got to remind them where we came from. We got to remind them, say, hey, folks, listen, this is what God did for us back then, and God will do it for us now. Folks, you've had a great victory this week. You've had people saved. But folks, this is a new day. And tomorrow, it starts all over again. You're not going to have vacation Bible school, but folks, there's got people that you've got to go see, and parents has got to be seen, and kids has got to be seen, and people, the church has got to grow, and you got to go sowing again. Hey, folks, listen! Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow, God will magnify himself. Oh, glory! And remember that the living God lives among us. Father in heaven,